Want to try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. It is Wednesday, September 29th. I am joined by George Kurtz. We are back on our normal schedule. Craig Mish taking his day off today. You know, he probably has to report on, I don't know, some injury for the Miami Marlins. He can't be here with us today. We have a great slate of NFL games coming up, and we actually have some baseball news as well. George, how is life out there on Long Island?
Life is good. You mentioned baseball. I'm a Yankee fan. Yankees win. Blue Jays lose. Red Sox lose. The Cowboy fan. Cowboys win. Life is good.
Yeah, life is good. The Dallas Cowboys look a lot like the team that we expected them to be. Actually, that's not even true because the defense is even a little bit better than I imagined. Two straight games, good defense against Jalen Hurts, very good defense, I thought, against Justin Herbert, and they are going to be playing the 3-0 Carolina Panthers this weekend. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about that game as we go through the show. Our Wednesday headlines here, the St. Louis Cardinals clinch a wild card berth. They win 17 games in a row. Unbelievable. A story that I could have never predicted. You know, it looked like the San Diego Padres were pretty much a lock for that second wild card spot, even though they were not having a great season. Noah Syndergaard starts for the first time in 2 years. I remember, I'm old enough to remember at the beginning of the season, Brett Levy being very excited about the return of Thor to the rotation for the New York Mets. Maybe not exactly what Mets fans would have envisioned. The Lions have cut former Pro Bowl linebacker Jamie Collins. Not sure if that really impacts the quality of their defense all that much. And Manny Pacquiao officially retires from boxing. But I got to go to baseball here because, you know, it's not in our headlines. Well, I know the Cardinals are getting all the headlines for their winning streak, but how about this New York Yankees winning streak? I mean, I saw yesterday that Giancarlo Stanton's grand slam that he hit over the weekend was the most impactful win-loss play on World Series odds of any player thus far this season. And Stanton has really turned it on here to end the year, George.
Oh, he certainly has. He's not hitting home runs. He's hitting titanic shots. I mean, these are all no doubters that he's hitting. All those, the home runs he hit in Fenway last night at, I was going to say Sky Dome. I know they changed the name of that a few years back. I don't know, Toronto. Whatever, these are all moonshots. Roger Center. Thank you, Brett Levy. Look, the Met fan knows something after all. When you know, he's hitting mammoth blocks, and they're all big shots. The Yankees have been a team of streaks all season long. If you look at Premier break down their streaks, they've had two massive streaks. They went 19-4 at the end of April into May. Then they went on their big winning streak where they won 13 straight, and now they're streaking again. Other than that, they've been very bad. Yeah, when they're streaking good, they're playing well. But when they're not, they're generally not playing well at all here. Looking good for the Yankees. They got pretty much their magic number is three. Three to clinch that wild card spot.
Yeah, and so they are now three games ahead of the Blue Jays. The Red Sox are only one game ahead of the Blue Jays. Does look like Vladimir Guerrero's triple crown run is going to end up a little bit short. He's tied with Ohtani for home runs right now. He's far behind Jose Abreu in terms of the RBIs that he would need. My guy Ohtani is down to minus 4,000 to win the AL MVP. Bryce Harper at minus 270 to win NL MVP. Do you think that Juan Soto should get a couple votes for MVP? I know the Nationals basically have given up on this season, right? They trade Trey Turner, they trade Max Scherzer, but the last month of the season that Juan Soto has been having, I mean, you know, guys like freaking Mickey Mantle out there, you cannot get Juan Soto out right now.
I imagine, Davis, you and I could spend an entire show talking about MVP, about what does it mean. Can it tell a guy in pretty much a last place team that's been out of it for months upon months be an MVP? I mean, actually, we can go on and on about this. Personally, I don't care about these awards. I don't care about MVP, Cy Young, you know, Rookie of the Year. I don't. I think a lot of it's political. You know, guys vote for who they're friends with, stuff like that, who gives them good articles. So I'm not a big fan of this. Now, that being said, I do love to talk about it. No, I don't think Soto can win this award. What are you the MVP of? Finishing last? You know, I just don't say, I think he's a great player, maybe the best player in the game right now, but I can't vote for him for MVP. I just can't do it. The only way I would is if no one else is even close. I mean, even all the guys on teams that are either made the playoffs or in contention, no one had a year. You know, then I could certainly be persuaded here. But no, I wouldn't vote for him for first place. Would he be on my ballot, which is top 10? Sure. I put him on my ballot, but not for first place. Maybe not even top two, top three. Like I said, what do you have MVP of? I think it's got to be a player on a not necessarily in the playoffs, but a contending team. Another thing with Soto, by the way, it's a shame how that, you know, the home run derby screwed his swing up. Just a shame.
Yeah, I mean, look, that is one of the most overblown narratives in professional sports, and we all understand why that home run derby narrative exists. It's because guys start out the season very hot. They hit a ton of home runs per fly ball, and then they normalize back to league averages. So definitely remember when anyone talks about that, it's pretty simple mathematics to explain why that exists. Everyone, we have a action-packed show for you here today. We are going to take a look at some very important fantasy football backfields. We're, of course, going to look at the waiver wire for week 4 in fantasy football. We are going to
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Take a look at the underdog pick'em selections for Thursday night football, and we are going to do some trade or trust in the second half of the show, and then, of course, fantasy or reality. Stay tuned. Stay on with George and I for the next 2 hours. Everything you need to get your fantasy football teams in shape. See you guys back in a moment.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. My name is Davis Maddock. I am joined by George Kurtz today. We are going to take a look at some backfields in fantasy football because, of course, we are very deep in the era of teams using certainly more than one running back. Some teams use three. Some teams use three running backs and have a running quarterback. The Baltimore Ravens come to mind as a team that uses three running backs and has a rushing quarterback. But the first team that we're going to look at is the Arizona Cardinals, who, of course, use two running backs. They have at least not started giving snaps to Eno Benjamin or Jonathan Ward at this point. But Kyler Murray has 17 rushing attempts on the season, maybe actually running a little bit less than we expected him to because the passing game has worked so well for Arizona. But right now we have a pretty even split between James Conner and Chase Edmonds. James Conner has 35 rushing attempts. Chase Edmonds has 31. Now, of course, Chase Edmonds has 17 targets in the passing game. James Conner has one target in the passing game. Two rushing touchdowns for James Conner. Both of them came in week three for the Arizona Cardinals. Though, George, I don't know if you caught this, Chase Edmonds got his first carry inside the five-yard line ever in that game against the Jacksonville Jaguars last week. He didn't score. But Chase Edmonds, it took him to year three in the NFL, but he did finally get his first carry inside the five-yard line. What are your thoughts on these two guys for fantasy football?
First, I caught half the stat. I didn't know it was first carry inside the five this year. I didn't know it was ever. My God. Let you know what kind of back they think he is. Not really built to for the goal line work here. I think if you're an Edmonds owner, and I am in a league or two, it's frustrating. I didn't expect that to be a 50-50 split. I think I knew coming out he'd get the receptions there. I was hoping for the goal line work to be somewhat split here. It's concerning because you probably spent the higher, I know I did, draft pick on Edmonds than you did on Connor. You got him rounds later. And right now, I'd rather have the value of Connor later if I would have gone that direction. And I don't have Connor in any league, at least not a regular league, maybe best ball I do. So it's concerning somewhat here. You know, I try not to panic in week three about guys. All right, it's only week four now. I still want to believe in certain guys, but it's on the back of my mind now. Is this guy getting any touchdowns? Do I need him to catch balls from 10 yards out or, you know, run balls from 10 yards out? It's kind of got to keep stealing all these. I know it's only the 1 week he got the two touchdowns. But like I said, I would probably rather have Conner now, but what are you going to do? You're not going to release Edmonds. He still has value as at least a low-end RB2 flex play at the very least. And we're going to have our bye week starting, I believe, in 2 weeks. So there's nothing you can do. You're stuck. You can't trade him. You're going to get 60 cents on a dollar for him. No one's going to give you anything. They're going to give you their problems for him. So you're sort of stuck here with nothing you can do except hope that the usage changes.
Yeah, I'm probably a little bit more optimistic on Chase Edmonds, mostly because the Cardinals have been such a high pass rate team. You know, Kyler Murray through a couple games here has 102 passing attempts. He's also completing 76% of his passes. We all play in PPR leagues at this point, right? So Chase Edmonds catches a pass for 1 yard. He falls down. That's 1 point. And James Conner, I mean, if you combine the if you subtracted Chase Edmonds' receptions minus James Conner's receptions, I think those amount of points are going to make up the touchdown discrepancy. Like, right, we give James Conner 8 touchdowns. We give Chase Edmonds maybe 3 touchdowns over the course of the season. I am not that worried. I think Edmonds probably catches 50, 60 passes, you know, scores his 3 or 4 touchdowns. And, you know, if Edmonds stays healthy, look, how many running backs have we seen bust or get injured already? And sometimes 12 points might be enough for your running back some week if your wide receivers are strong. So I am not as worried about Chase Edmonds. In fact, if his owner in your league was kind of feeling down on him, I would welcome trading for James Conner at this point on some of my fantasy teams. Certainly not all of them. It's a case-by-case basis. The next backfield, the undefeated Denver Broncos have Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon. Melvin Gordon has out-touched Javonte to this point. Javonte did fumble at the goal line last week. He also did score a rushing touchdown. 42 rushing attempts for Melvin Gordon, 39 for Javonte Williams, 7 targets for Melvin Gordon, 6 targets for Javonte Williams, 2 touchdowns for Melvin, 1 for Javonte. I'd have to say that, honestly, people who drafted both of these guys probably have to feel pretty good about it. You draft Melvin Gordon, you got a couple good games. Looks like he is the lead back right now to start the season. Javonte Williams looks good, has not made any mistakes in pass protection or anything like that, should kind of be his backfield in the second half of the season. How do you view this backfield, George?
Pretty much how you just described it. It's a 50-50 split down the middle. If you would have asked me 3 weeks ago, I would have told you, you know, I'd rather have Javonte. I think as the season goes on, he's going to steal all the work here. Younger back, that sort of thing. But Gordon's going to do such a good start. I'm not so sure about that anymore. I think it may be a little longer till Javonte gets the work there. Now, you mentioned the fumble at the goal line. He scored his touchdown before he fumbled. So I don't know how much Fangio might punish him for that. You know, sometimes they get very angry, some of these coaches, especially old school coaches, when these guys fumble, especially at the goal line here. It meant nothing. The game was already over. Maybe it would almost cost you your shutout. That's it. So I'm curious to see how that plays out, but that's just me playing devil's advocate here. I like them both here pretty much evenly here. I do have Gordon in a league or two. Same thing with Javonte Williams. And it's the way today's game is. All right, most teams, I would say, what, 26 of the 32 teams, maybe 24 at worst. So three quarters have a dual running back system, at least a dual. You mentioned some teams even have three. It's just the way the game is played nowadays. They don't want these guys to get, you know, 25-plus touches. They don't think they can survive the season doing that. There are no more Emmitt Smiths from back in the day, Barry Sanders. Not the way the game's played. You're not going to see that anymore here. So I don't mind you having either one of these guys. I still think, though, at some point, Javonte Williams, the younger guy, fresher legs, will be the guy at the end of the season. But it could easily be Melvin Gordon. They might say, hey, we want the veteran who's not going to make mistakes. So it could go either way here. I want to ask you one question, though. I had somebody in the industry who's, I can't remember right now. I think I might know who it is. Anyway, he says he'll never, that's it. He's done taking running backs in the first round. I imagine he must be a McCaffrey owner or a Dalvin Cook. Maybe last year it happened too, where these guys keep getting hurt. And he's now going, you know what? It's just safer to take a wide receiver, mainly because, as you said in your little opening thing there, does anybody still play in a standard league? We all play in PPR leagues nowadays. I don't think I play in any standard leagues. So do you think, is it a, your philosophy, what would you change now and not take a running back in the first round? I'd say I'm done.
I actually think the spots to avoid are probably going to be the second round running backs because, like, look, if you took Derrick Henry, if you took Alvin Kamara, I mean, honestly, even if you took Ezekiel Elliott, like, Elliott hasn't been great, but he also hasn't been, like, terrible. I think he had 25 points in week three, 15 points in week two. It looks like the biggest busts in fantasy drafts this season are going to be the second round running backs, right? Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Antonio Gibson. No, Eckler's been decent, but a lot of these guys that we were hoping that would be really good, you know, the second round running backs, they have kind of been the ones that have disappointed, and it hasn't been a result of injury. But, you know, the truth remains, wide receivers do get injured less often than running backs. Of course, they still do get injured, right? Jerry Jeudy, IR, Michael Gallup, IR, A.J. Brown hurts his hamstring. Odell Beckham missed the first 2 weeks of the season recovering from his ACL injury. So it's not that they don't get injured at all. It's just they get injured a little bit less. And also, I mean, and this is not going to blow any minds here, but running back is a position that benefits from injuries, right? All the guys in San Francisco get hurt. We bet on Elijah Mitchell. A.J. Brown's hurt. Are you spending your waiver wire money on Chester Rogers? Are you spending your waiver wire money on Nick Westbrook-Ikhine? I don't think so. And so the whole philosophy, I think that your industry friend is making the right point, but kind of for the wrong reason, right? Like, in general, it is actually safer to take a wide receiver than it is to take a running back. But the reason why that is true is because the running back position is kind of easier to duct tape over in the middle of the season. If you have teams that need wide receivers off the waiver wire right now, you know, you're adding Jalen Guyton and DeMarcus Robinson. You are not having a good time if you're adding wide receivers off the waiver wire right now. So it's a long way to say your friend is probably right. Everyone, we're going to run to break here real quick at Fantasy Sports Today. See you guys back in a few moments. Stay on the grid for the rest of the hour.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back from break here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid TV. My name is Davis Maddock. I'm joined by George Kurtz on the show today. Before we get into looking at the waiver wire for this week, I need to remind everyone, you absolutely have to be following at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV on social media. We know it's not realistic for you to be watching the show. I think we have 18 hours of live programming these days. I'll be honest, I'm not watching 18 hours live of anything, but you will get the best news, notes, highlights, injury updates, line movements, all that good stuff if you follow at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV on Twitter. I know I'm on Twitter more than I'm doing anything else, so I definitely make sure to get those updates as well. George, we are here. 3 weeks of football have been played. Thursday night football starts tomorrow. All the high-stakes leagues do their waiver wire claims on Wednesday nights, so we're going to take a look at the waiver wire for this upcoming week, and we're going to start with some quarterbacks because, I mean, for a lot of my teams, I'm going to be honest, I took a lot of rookie quarterbacks. I took a lot of Tua. Tua on the IR. Fields looked terrible in his first start. Lawrence got some good garbage time numbers. His first two starts was bad in week three. So I'm kind of starting to thinking about, switching up things in some of my quarterback rooms. And the guy for me that really highlights the waiver wire or your streamers for quarterback this week, it's got to be Sam Darnold at Dallas. That game is a really high over-under. I believe it's 52, maybe 52.5 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. And Darnold has just been, I mean, look, he has just been good. Now, granted, the Panthers have played no one, and Dallas is going to be their first real test, but he's running a little bit. No Christian McCaffrey in this game. You would think that that probably makes the Panthers a little bit more pass heavy. Are you in on Sam Darnold as a streamer this week?
Depends on who else is there. He wouldn't be my top guy. Now you mentioned, that's the first thing I'm concerned about. You've played nobody. I mean, let's face it, you played the Jets. Oh, the worst team in football. Week two, you played New Orleans, team that has no offense. And week three, you played Houston, maybe the second worst team in football. Certainly top three, top five. So you haven't played anybody. Not that Dallas has a great defense, but it once again, it is in Texas. It'll be in at Dallas. We saw what that defense could do. They're fast, right? The Dallas defense is fast. They've got a couple of guys that are playing out of this world in Trayvon Diggs, who's the cornerback. I don't know if he'll be locked on more. I don't think he'll be locked on Anderson, so I think he'll be locked on more. Dallas is making him travel, go side to side, generally with the top receiver there. So I think he'll be on him. And Micah Parsons is all over the place, getting to the quarterback. So I think they'll cause some trouble here. Darnold has faced Dallas, I believe, once in his past. He did beat the Cowboys and played very well in that game. I think it was the game he came back from mono, as a matter of fact, too, with the Jets. But that was in Jets, not Dallas here. He wouldn't be my top choice here. They did just trade Dan Arnold, too, thank God, because Sam Darnold and Dan Arnold was driving me insane on the same team. C.J. Henderson, interesting deal there. So not my top choice, but not someone I'd shy away from either if your choices are limited.
Yeah, I think that seems about right. Teddy Bridgewater against Miami, feel good. Or actually, Teddy Bridgewater doesn't play Miami. He plays the Baltimore Ravens this week. So I must have messed something up on the graphic there. The Teddy thing is just, I mean, how good is this guy playing? He is, do you know this, George? He is number one in the NFL, better than Mahomes, better than Dak, better than Herbert in expected points added from the quarterback position. And he's top five in the NFL in throws 20 yards or further down the field. I mean, look, I thought Teddy was going to come in and be a game manager. He does lose KJ Hamler. That's not great. But I mean, I think that Teddy Bridgewater, any week, honestly, I really think this. I think he is a guy you can consider starting because he is playing so well in this Denver offense.
Oh, I think you have to more than consider it, right? He looks great. And I did know those stats, by the way. I did hear those as well. Yay. But once again, what I said about Darnold, I could say here too. Who have you played? You played those same Jets. Okay, we know they're terrible. Jacksonville. Yeah. And the Giants. And the Giants always find ways to screw things up, right? So you haven't played anybody either. Now you're playing the Ravens, who granted, not really the Ravens of old. You know, the other team is a little weak. We saw Derek Carr go up and down the field against them. Detroit. Listen, I know people think Detroit lost in that weird field goal. I mean, I have a friend who's a Detroit Lions fan. I thought he was going to have a stroke here. Really thought he was going to have a stroke. He was not happy, to put it nicely. And but that game should have been closed. If Marquise Brown just catches the football, that game's a blowout. I mean, he dropped so many passes there. That hurt there. So you're playing Baltimore now. I don't. If he was a different team, I would feel much better about him. And he keeps losing receivers too. You mentioned Hamler, no Judy. I mean, you keep losing guys here. Sooner or later, this has to affect this team. I think this is. I'm not saying he's not going to have a solid week, but not the big week. I think if I'm taking a streaming quarterback here, I'm probably looking for more upside. And I don't think he has it this week.
Yeah, I think you're right. So now I want to transition and look at the tight ends, because I think tight end is actually good this week. I think there are a bunch of guys, because, I mean, the first thing, George, you and I know, tight end is bad this year. I mean, no tight ends are doing anything. Kittle hasn't scored a touchdown yet. Waller had the incredible week one, has really cooled down after that. Of course, Travis Kelce is dominant. We thought TJ Hockenson, you and I were talking about TJ Hockenson last week. We thought, okay, this is going to be the guy. Maybe he'll be tight end three. He gets two targets for 10 yards last week. So there just really is, unless you have Travis Kelce, and maybe if you have Waller and Kittle, then you can just kind of ignore the tight end position. But I think everyone else should be churning guys on the waiver wire. The first guy, it's got to be our guy, of course, our Dallas Cowboys tight end, Dalton Schultz. He's played over 65% of the snaps in all three of their games this year, with Michael Gallup out on that night game against the Eagles. He has, I believe, 8 targets, 70 yards, and he scored 2 touchdowns as well. Looked really, I mean, how good did he look? I guess I can't say he looked really good, but he looked competent in their offense. I think that Dalton Schultz is actually a very good target on the waiver wire.
Oh, I agree. I think he's probably your top target. Right now, you may have been worried coming into the season because Blake Jarwin was back for the Cowboys, tore the ACL last year, but it's obviously it's Schultz's job, and he's a free agent, so this is a money season for him to put up numbers, you know, and then move on. I imagine he'll move on from there. But Dak's looking for him, and keep in mind, now there was some probably game planning against Philadelphia. Darius Slay almost always takes Cooper out of games, right? Darius Slay's had Cooper's number all throughout his career, including when he was with Detroit here. So not a shock there. Cooper was banged up. CeeDee Lamb, I imagine they could have somebody over the top against him. So he had a quiet day. And they were able to run the ball up and down the field anyway. But it left Schultz. I mean, he was dancing all through that Eagles secondary there. Maybe that's not going to happen versus Carolina. The receivers should have a better matchup against the Carolina cornerbacks here. It's why they made that deal. For Henderson there. So maybe not quite as many targets this week, but he's going to be in the game plan week in and week out. We all think Dallas is going to score 30 points probably more often than not in a game. So yeah, Schultz is absolutely on my number one tight end on the waiver wire.
Yeah. And then I think there are other interesting guys as well. Tyler Conklin has a huge game last week for the Minnesota Vikings. They played the Cleveland Browns in what should be a competitive game. But, you know, we have 4 targets and 8 targets through 3 games for Tyler Conklin. KJ Osborne saw only 2 targets last week. I think that Minnesota would prefer to play 12 personnel instead of 11 personnel. And look, you know, Kyle Rudolph, how many times did he finish as a top 12 tight end? Well, you know, I mean, look, Kyle Rudolph was never a spectacular athlete, especially in the back half of his career. Why can't Tyler Conklin be, you know, the 9th best tight end in fantasy? It's not like Chris Herndon is giving him any competition. Ben Ellefson does not have a target yet this year, despite playing a bunch of snaps for the Vikings. So I think Tyler Conklin is a similarly good add to Dalton Schultz.
Agreed. I agree. I like Tyler Conklin as well, especially in deeper leagues where the guys we're talking about, the Schultz, may already be gone. Or if you're, you know, people are drafting 2 tight ends in the draft, and, you know, there's not much left at all. Tyler Conklin, no one's drafted. Only worry for this week is that Cleveland's generally top 10 against tight end for fantasy points. They only give up 10.63 a week. So maybe this is not the week you're going to get a big production out of them. But I like Tyler Conklin probably more for the longer term here. So, yeah, I'm in on Tyler Conklin as well, especially, like I said, deeper leagues where it's really thin out there.
Yeah. Another guy that I need to mention, Jordan Akins. The Houston Texans, they just don't have anyone to pass to, right? Like they have Nico Collins on IR. They have Danny Amendola on IR. Right now, this is true, Brandon Cooks leads the NFL in target share, which is, I mean, how insane is it that Brandon Cooks leads the NFL in target share? And Pharaoh Brown saw 11 targets in their first 2 games, and then Jordan Akins took over, you know, for whatever reason, in the first game that Davis Mills started as the primary receiving tight end. And given the fact that the Texans just don't have a second guy to target, I actually think you can do a lot worse at your tight end position than just get me 4 for $40, Jordan Aiken. So I'm spending a little bit of fab money on him as well.
First, though, you just reminded me, I need to thank you. We did a segment on last week's show, and I forget what it was, but you were all in on Cooks, and I wasn't. I was a little down on him. And then, you know, after the show's going on, like, you know, I think Davis is ready. You changed my mind. I ended up betting on Cooks, either as a receiving prop or as reception props on the game. And you won me some money, Davis, so thank you there. So I say, I do listen every now and then, contrary to what my wife thinks. I agree with you about Aikens. There's just no one else there. I mean, there's just no one else to throw to there, right? So just by being there, by breathing, I think he'll have some value this week. And I'm not talking immense value, but if you're stuck at tight end for whatever reason, you could probably do a lot worse. The opportunity is going to be there.
Yeah, it is. And the last guy, just real quick, Pat Freiermuth has seen more targets and more receptions than Eric Ebron. Deontay Johnson is injured, and Juju Smith-Schuster might be injured as well. You know, we don't love the Steelers passing game, but I do think, like, that kind of the way I said it is I just set these guys, you know, Freiermuth and Aikens as $1 contingent bids, and I think you can do worse than that there. Of course, we are not done with our waiver wire discussion. We still have to go over running backs and wide receivers, which we are going to do in our next segment, but I think we gave you a good basis on how to start setting up your waiver wire for this week at quarterback and tight end. See you guys back for the rest of this waiver wire conversation in just a few moments.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Want to try a free sample of Berry Pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your body.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back from break here on Fantasy Sports Today. My name is Davis Maddock. I am joined by my buddy, George Kurtz. We are in the middle of running through the fantasy football waiver wire for week 4 in the NFL. We've already done the quarterback and the tight end position. If you missed that, feel free to go back and watch it on demand. There are lots of different ways that you can do that. You can look at it on our YouTube channel. You can look at that via our streaming services as well. And I would encourage you to do it. But now, of course, we have to turn our attention to the most important position, which is the running back position. And there are a plethora of names. And we can just go ahead and start here. Christian McCaffrey is injured. They're not placing him on the IR, but they also, the Panthers, did not place him on the IR last year either, George, and he still missed a bunch of time, came back, got re-injured, and then went on the IR. So I imagine Hubbard is owned in many leagues, but how much fab would you spend on Chuba Hubbard if he was out there in your leagues, George?
Ooh, I'm going to believe the Panthers here. And what I mean by that is I'm going to assume it's only a couple of weeks. All right, now the fact that you just threw out there that they didn't play, I forgot about that, that they didn't place him on the IR last year as well, does concern me somewhat because that means they lie. They lie to you about not placing him. But I'm going to believe him. That's only going to be a couple of weeks here. So I want Chuba if he's out there. I do. But I'm not going to break the bank for three games. I'm just not going to do it. I'd have to be really, really desperate here. I think Chuba's going to do a good job. He's not Christian McCaffrey. Nobody is. But he's going to do a solid job there. It's still a team that's based on getting that ball to that number one back here. I would, depending on what my record is, if I'm 3-0, you know, once again, price enforcement, just to make sure someone's not getting him for free. If I'm 0-3, I need to win now. I may have to go spend 50% just to get the guy. And especially if I'm dead at running back here, I need to win. Can't go 0-4. Saving my fab money going 0-4, what does that do for me? I'm going to waste it anyway. If I'm 2-1, once again, it's going to go incrementally higher depending on what my record is. That's the way I'm going to go with this here. But no more than 50% and only 50 if I'm 0-3.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think that even this is how I think of it. If I can spend my fab money and get 18 PPR points, right? Over 18 PPR points on average over 2 weeks, like that, which would be like half of what Christian McCaffrey's projection would be. That would basically be like what Mike Davis did last year, starting for the Panthers. And right, great matchup this week against Dallas. I'm down to spend it. I think that you were good to spend on Chuba Hubbard. But of course, he's going to be owned in a lot of leagues, right? Very competitive leagues. Hubbard is going to be owned. The more interesting ad, and I wonder if you agree with me, is Royce Freeman, because Royce Freeman is not going to be the crown jewel of the waiver wire. You know, he will be 2-3% of your budget tops. I am interested in adding Royce Freeman and thinking that maybe he will actually play the passing downs for the Carolina Panthers. What do you think about that?
I agree. This is Freeman's definitely on this list. And I also agree with you about Hubbard, by the way. I'm playing in 11 leagues. Hubbard was available in one. That's it. So you do the math there. It's less than 10% of leagues there. So good luck trying to get him. Freeman was available in all of the leagues. All 11 I could get Freeman in. And I did put in some bids there. I was surprised with the Eagles on Monday night. Now, maybe they were thinking they had to score with Dallas. We can't go with the run game. But not only did they abandon the run, but when they did, they didn't run up the middle. Dallas was a lot of injuries at defensive line. I don't know who's coming back this week. It's only Wednesday. They really haven't announced anything. Some of the injuries were COVID-related, and nobody on the COVID list has come back yet. This includes Antonio Brown from Tampa Bay, by the way. So we'll see if those guys. But if those guys are still out, Dallas will be weak up the middle. Randy Gregory on the right rush, Micah Parsons on the left. Those are smaller guys. They're not going to play the run very well here. So running up the middle, I think, could work against Dallas with Hubbard or Freeman. You're right, Freeman is more the catch guy there. He'll catch the balls. I don't know what yards he's going to get after it. Dallas is fast. Linebackers are fast. You know, secondary is fast. Even the linemen, if everyone's fast, that's what Dallas bought. Dan Quinn does. He's banking on speed here. So you're not going to get much yardage after that. But I think you could get a smattering of points. And we know Hubbard's not going to touch the ball 30 times. Freeman's going to touch the ball 8 times minimum.
Yeah. All right. Now we got to take a look at the Patriots backfield. Damian Harris kind of got benched last week. Like, not benched, but it's just clear that he is not going to be playing passing downs for them. It was his worst fantasy game of the season against the Saints last week. Then to combine that, James White got injured. He suffers, I believe it was a hip subluxation, which is the same injury that Ryan Fitzpatrick has, caused him to go on the IR. The Washington football team said Fitzpatrick's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. I would imagine something like that for James White. So now that leaves their backfield at Damian Harris, J.J. Taylor, Brandon Bolden. Yes, that Brandon Bolden, 31-year-old old guy, Brandon Bolden, led the backfield in snaps last week. But interesting little wrinkle in the ointment here. Ramondre Stevenson was not active last week. He was a healthy scratch. I don't think he will be a healthy scratch this upcoming week. What should we be doing with this Patriots backfield? You know, I know that Stevenson got dropped in some of my leagues. Out of Bolden, J.J. Taylor, and Ramondre, who would you most like to add, and what kind of fab would you be willing to spend on them?
I hate playing the New England guessing game at running back. How many times have we been burned by this over the last decade plus? All right, and I avoid it. I almost always avoid New England and their running backs. They never have one solid guy, right? It's always a mixture. Yeah, really, since what, Robert Edwards, Corey Dillon, it's always been Curtis Martin, you know, 20 years ago. It's always been a guessing game. I tend to avoid it. Plus, you got the matchup versus Tampa Bay. Two things here. No one runs on. I know Sonny Michelle did a decent job last week, but generally no one runs against Tampa Bay, and Tom Brady's going to put up 1,000 points. They're going to have to throw the ball. All right. I think if you're looking at New England's running backs, A, you're going to get – you might guess right 1 week and be wrong the next week because Brandon Bolden was the guy last week. Maybe he's just ignored this week, and it is Stevenson. And what's up with Stevenson, by the way? Why is he on the back of a milk carton and been inactive every week? What did he do? You know, so strange. Yeah, I just thought I never know what Bill's thinking is, what he's doing there. I prefer Stevenson. I think he is the most talented back, but I don't know. I honestly don't know. I never know what Bill's going to do here, and I don't think any of them is going to have a big week this week unless you guess right on the guy who gets the touchdown. You know, we get a guy who gets into the end zone, get that touchdown deodorant. Yes, then I think this could help this week. But I'm going to be more looking for next week. You know, that's I'm banking on the guy I think is going to do well next week. I'll go with that. But Stevenson's going to be my guy. Bolden's going to be second here. But I say that with zero amount of confidence.
Yeah. So I would rank them in order. Ramondre, if he's been dropped, JJ Taylor, then Brandon Bolden. But I guarantee you, in my lifetime, I have made worse waiver wire ads than spending $1 on Brandon Bolden. Our final two guys here, Marlon Mack, who the Colts are reportedly trying to trade. There would be a couple destinations where he would be interesting. I think San Francisco would be the primary one where people would be interested if he got traded. So let's say you and I are doing a show, breaking news, top of the hour, Marlon Mack has been traded to the San Francisco 49ers. You're going to go do waiver wires tonight. How much would you spend on Marlon Mack?
Probably more than 50. I'd want him. I'd want Marlon Mack. I mean, we all want to go to San Fran, right? Shanahan produces great running schemes for both the backs there. I would be, if not all in, pretty damn close to all in. I've rarely spent 100% of my fab on anybody this early in the season. But if I'm hurt at running back, you know, how much better are you going to do here than Marlon Mack going to San Fran? And really, when you think about it, how much better can you do that? That's a starting back in a couple of weeks. Or at least the guy who's sharing the starting load on a team that we know loves to run the ball. I guess my only devil's advocate, eventually Trey Lance is going to take over there, and that might force teams to take away the running game and force Lance to beat them through the air. Once again, that's more devil's advocate. I'd want Mack.
Yeah, I would be there as well. And then I guess the last thing here, Michael Carter for the New York Jets. The Jets are terrible, but Tevin Coleman is injured, and they made LaMichael Perine a game day inactive anyway last week, so just a two-man backfield there. For the New York Jets, Carter will probably end up being the true lead guy there. But again, it's a Jets running back, so how much does it even matter? Finally, Josh Gordon and the waiver wire wide receivers. I mean, who knows what Josh Gordon is going to do? Who knows if he ever even gets on the field for the Kansas City Chiefs? I mean, clearly they would like to get some more production out of their secondary wide receivers. I know Byron Pringle and DeMarcus Robinson had good games in week two. But what are we doing with Josh Gordon? Can you justify spending fab dollars on Josh Gordon in the midst of all of this?
Fab dollars? No. Fab dollar? Maybe. No, maybe. I might spend a buck. Maybe. But how long has it been since Gordon has been NFL worthy, more or less fantasy worthy? Been a few years. He's not the same guy he was. You know, he's just not that guy anyway. He's not going to be an explosive game player. Plus, he's not just going to go in and know the entire playbook. Wide receiver is tough. You need to know the route tree for the team, right? You need to get chemistry at Mahomes. And even if things go great, well, you're behind Kelsey. You're behind Hill. I would think you're still going to be behind Hardman. And hell, you may be behind CEH. What are we hoping for here? Really, what are we hoping for? I'd have to be pretty desperate to spend anything more than a couple of bucks. I don't care. Like I said, if I look on the waiver line, Davis Maddock got Gordon. Good for Davis. This is the way I would look. I wouldn't care. It wouldn't be like, oh, damn, I didn't get him. Wouldn't care. Like I said, let it be someone else's problem. You want to go spend $10, $15 on him? Good luck to you.
Yeah. All right. Anthony Miller, 6 targets last week, scores a touchdown. We already talked about the Texans a little bit when we were talking about tight ends. Look, Anthony Miller's been good in the NFL before, scored 7 touchdowns as a rookie, had 800 scrimmage yards his second year, was obviously in that horrid passing environment in Chicago. I don't have any teams that are weak at wide receiver, to be honest. I'm scrambling for running backs. I'm scrambling for tight ends. I'm not really scrambling at wide receiver. But if I was, I mean, why can't Anthony Miller cut into this Brandon Cooks target share? Like, we know Anthony Miller is at least a decent player. So I actually kind of like Anthony Miller for, you know, 5 waiver wire bucks this week.
I'm with you on everything you said. I also don't have any teams really that are wide receiver. I've been very lucky, which is what's concerning, by the way. I've been very lucky with injuries. Yeah, my fantasy season's been really right down the middle. I got 1-3-0 team, 1-0-3 team, and everyone else is 1-2, and I have more 1-2s than 2-1s. So it's annoying. I've been healthy, but not playing well. I'm not looking for someone like Miller because I just don't need help at wide receiver. But I like him because, like you said, I think someone has to cut to Cook. He's not going to get 20 targets a game. So why not take a few bucks on Miller? They're going to be behind him. Most games have to throw. The opportunity is there. And to me, that's always half the battle, the opportunity.
Yeah. Okay, a couple guys coming off of the short-term IR. Curtis Samuel for the Washington football team. He reportedly returned to practice this morning. Same thing for Rashad Bateman. He is reportedly returning to practice, though not clear if he's going to be activated this week. My preference here would be Bateman because the Ravens have actually looked to throw a little bit more this year than in years past. And I mean, how many times can Marquise Brown drop a ball 40 yards down the field before those targets start going to someone else? But between Curtis Samuel and Bateman, both of those guys coming off of the short-term IR, which one are you taking?
I think the upside is Bateman, but I'm probably going to take the safer play in Samuel, who had a really good year last year with Carolina. My only worry is, you know, he worked more with Fitzpatrick than Heineke, so there could be some issues there. But Samuel's a good player, and he's not going to see the main coverage there. We all know that's going to McLaurin or McScorin, whatever you want to call him. Logan Thomas is there. I'm going to go with Samuel here. And plus, that Washington defense not playing anywhere near what we thought they would. They're letting up points. So Washington has to throw the ball maybe a little bit more often than we thought.
Yeah. And a couple other guys here. DeSean Jackson, 125 yards and a touchdown last week. Deontay Spencer, if you're very, very desperate, looks like the third wide receiver for the Denver Broncos. Everyone, we're going to go ahead and run into our final break of hour one. Of course, stay tuned for hour two. We have lots more fantasy football content and wagering content for you guys. Stay on the grid. Stay here on Fantasy Sports Today. See you guys in a minute.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to our final block here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid TV of the first hour. Of course, we're going to be coming back to you for a second hour. Lots more fantasy football content. Going to be talking about our friends over at Underdog Fantasy as well. The beginning of every hour and the end of every hour, I give George a little bit of chance to talk about baseball. And I have one very important question, which is, what are the San Diego Padres? I mean, is this like the most disappointing season in the last decade of baseball? I cannot remember a team, like, I was pretty tuned into baseball back in, you know, May or whatever. I cannot remember a team with this much hype. I mean, they're going to end with a losing record. They're going to be an 80-win team, George. This is unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it's the worst collapse ever, but certainly in recent memory. I mean, think about it. We're not just talking about a team that was a good team here. We're talking about a team that went for it. They did push all their chips into the middle. They did trade a lot of prospects for guys like Yu Darvish, Blake Snell. Yeah, go back to last year, and they got the Cleveland Indians pitcher's name escapes me right now. They went for it. And not only did they not make the playoffs, but my God, they've collapsed. They're going to finish on, probably going to finish under 500. I mean, this is one of those seasons where it's going to cost jobs. People are going to be fired. We've already seen it. I think some scouting director got fired. Yeah, because it was his fault. That's why the team didn't do well. So that's why the scouting director. Well, they replaced him to put him in another position in the organization. So there's going to be a lot of issues going on with San Diego. I can't tell you why. I mean, this is a loaded team, superstar team, but they just collapsed, choked, whatever you want to call it. Didn't happen for them this year.
Yeah, it is incredibly bizarre. And I mean, you know, looking at the Padres rotation to end the season, I mean, they're picking guys up off the scrap heap. They got Vince Velasquez involved here. I mean, what a bummer. Because I was excited. I was excited about the Padres, but doesn't look like it's going to happen. Everyone, we are going to close out hour one here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid TV. When we return, we have our headlines for the day and much more fantasy football content. See you guys back in a few moments.
Sports happens every day, and we give you expert insights and information on gaming, odds, and more.
Every day. You see it.